Last week, because we have started this foundation series, because of that, I decided to jump into Hebrews 6 and just talk about one foundational pillar, which was faith in God. And Paul said these were elementary principles. Elementary, but indispensable. You never outgrow the need for the foundations, just like we never outgrow the need for the gospel. We started with the gospel, and the gospel will take us all the way until we're home with the Lord. And so faith in God is a foundational stone. And we just talked about being mindful of our words and our confession, as Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Make sure we're lining our tongue up with what God says. Also bringing our actions to the table to give him something to work with. So we recommend that to you in case you missed it last week. So today, building off that premise, we want to go a step further as we're still in New Year mode. And I just think it's good that when we're in a new season, to pick up principles of faith and principles of victory to set our sights into the new year and to begin right with a good confession, with a good mindset, and a heart full of faith as to who God is and what God wants to do in the new season. So do y'all remember me asking at the first Sunday back to possibly consider discovering a leading text maybe over your life and over your family for the year? Remember that? Just to pray, maybe prophetically, God would give you a verse that would be a defining verse for the year. It's not, you don't have to do it, but just a thought. That there could be something that God would give you to hang your hat on for the year, to define and to lead. And so as I was considering that, I want to run with this year a principle based on three verses, verses one, that are conceptually the same, which is going from faith to faith, strength to strength, and glory to glory. Now, I've always thought and assumed that all three aspects were located in one text, but they're actually represented in three verses that we'll get to a little bit later. But in this progression, we find that one truth can actually build upon another, and one position of increase can take you to another in a springboard fashion as God intended. God in His grace and His Spirit and His work in our lives is not in a diminishing direction, but in a multiplying, increasing direction. When we get to heaven, as you've heard us say, we're not going to kind of exhaust all there is to know about this infinite, glorious King and then think, okay, been there, done that, got that, you know, I've got my expertise in that subject. Will always be learners, always students, but there's just always more in God. He is the inexhaustible God. And aren't you glad that we're serving something bigger than ourselves? If we could reduce Him in our image, I wouldn't want to serve Him if He wasn't outside of our scope and just our comprehension. And certainly we comprehend Him to love Him and to worship Him, but we'll never exhaust Him. So there's always a progression, but one truth can build upon another, and it's a springboard as God intended. Innate within God's kingdom is expansion, whether that's personally, individually, corporately, in our families, in our livelihoods, in our fruitfulness, in our ministries, in our character, in our outlook, in our capacity, et cetera, all by grace. And the grace of God takes us there for sure. But this build up and build out is also expressed clearly. I love Proverbs 4:18. It says, "The path of the righteous is like the dawning of the day that" what? "Shines brighter and brighter until the" day full? Okay, or full day. It's all right, it'll work, baby. I love this. The path of the righteous doesn't diminish. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Not dimmer and dimmer, brighter and brighter. Such are the ways of God, such as the economy of God. That gives us something to hope in. That means there's more right around the corner. That means we can get excited about 2020 versus, another year. Yeah, I had some resolutions a year ago and, you know, just kind of went the way of all the earth. But in God's mind, it's going to get better, going to get brighter, not in triumphalism or in some Pollyanna notion, but it's just the nature and the path and plan of the Lord. In the Amplified, it says, until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day. Touche. A lot to be excited about, to anticipate like little children. God never told children to act like adults, but he did tell adults to have the faith of children. What you gonna do, Daddy? What you gonna do? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna provide? What are you gonna break out? What might you do in this new season? Therefore, faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. Faith to a new level of faith, strength to a new dimension of strength, glory to a new height of glory. Could you use some? I'll sign up for some. Could you use some? Let's set our sights for this increase. God's grace package in our lives. Again, it doesn't shrink, diminish, but increases as we follow him, obey him, and stay with him over the years. You may not see it overnight, and that's a good thing, and that's okay. But over the years, and many times it'll be others that perceive it in you and over your life. Even through trials, and especially through trials, we press through to a broader place. How does that happen, that a trial produces a broader place on the other side? You inquire of the Lord, but it just does. Jesus came out of the wilderness, out of those 40 days of testing and temptation. He came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're not even intimidated by those things. Somehow there's an increase on the other side. I would say Jesus himself got an increase on the other side of the cross, would you not? From death to resurrection. Thank God for it. But there's a broader place. Faithfulness takes us to a broader place in God. Looking to and leaning on the Lord takes us to a broader place, a more expansive place. Brighter and brighter until the full day. And then everything culminates finally with heaven. I would consider that a pretty full day. How about you? The path is not always a straight line, have you discovered? It's not perfection, but it is progress. Matter of fact, our life journey can look like this sometimes. Sometimes it's like, you know, circling that mountain, you know, learning another lesson, two steps forward, one steps back. Anyone ever done that? It's okay, but there's still movement. Sometimes when you take a step back, we throw our hands up. All is lost. No, it's just a step back. He'll redeem it. He'll redeem it. I think Peter, based on denying the Lord, worked up a head of steam, blessed God, and thought, by the grace of God, I will never do that again. And then he stood up among the 11, and he was the chief spokesperson on the day of Pentecost. I felt the sting of what I did. I will never do that again. God redeemed it. God came back and circled around Peter, reinstated him. So it may not be a straight line. Not perfection, but progress. Detours, setbacks, and all. But God can use anything as a divine springboard. Doesn't Romans 8:28 tell us that? Either we take that by faith or not, that all things, what? Work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Anyone in the house love God? Just checking. Called according to his purpose. Somehow God takes our stuff, even our detours, and as we look and lean into him, he can redeem it. Why is he a redeemer? Because he redeems stuff, namely our stuff, namely our mess. If we didn't need fixing and tweaking and mending, there'd be nothing for him to redeem. Therefore, redeemer. So thank God for it. So we don't bring our perfection to him. We just bring our willing hearts, clunky and all, before the king and watch what he does with it. So, again, even two steps forward, one steps back, we still experience God's progress. So, back to the top, a three-part concept, faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. So let's look at the first part, faith to faith. Romans 1:17 says, "For in it the gospel, the righteousness of God, is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." And we unpacked the concept of faith last week. The same text in the Amplified reads this way, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith." I mean, come on, get on the faith train. I mean, hello? I mean, it's like this thread springing from faith, leading to faith, that awakens more faith. "As it is written and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by faith." So that's a loaded statement, basically communicating to the one who has, more will be giving. More will be given. He'll multiply. He'll increase. The faith of God within us awakens even more faith, as faith begets faith. The righteousness revealed in the gospel, both twofold, springs from faith, leads to faith. Springs from, leads to. Springs from, leads to. We find in Christianity that one virtue leads to another like a golden chain. One victory leads to another. How many of you have experienced victory in one area and you actually discovered that seeped into another area? The victory in maybe one area helped you kind of get on the stick on another area. It's all by grace, but it helped you. One compartment of your life helped leaven maybe confidence in another area as you saw the grace of God break out. So one victory leads to another. One assists the other, and it builds confidence. Your, quote, place today or your position today will lead you to your place or position tomorrow. So don't despise where you are today. Don't put old Yeller down, because that's going to be what's going to put you into that position you need to go in tomorrow. Hello? That's going to be your springboard into the next thing. So don't despise where you are starting from today, because it is the launch pad for your tomorrow. So don't abort. Can you say don't abort? I don't like my life. It doesn't matter. God likes it. I don't like the way things are going in my job. I don't like the way things are going relationally. I don't know, there's no open doors. Well, is God watching or not? Is God sovereign or not? Could it be that God's using a two-step back or a deficit to build a head of steam so there'll be a greater story for His glory? As long as we don't faint and give up and shrink back. We're not of those that shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. So it doesn't mean that you've got to see it to receive it, but we believe it. We talked about that last week, putting faith in things our eyes don't see. It's counterintuitive, but it's the ways of the kingdom. Of course, standing on a promise. So it's not an air bubble. You are standing on the Word of God, you see. So it's going to take us where we need to go. So don't abort. Don't discard it before it does its work. It is intended and designed to fulfill its purpose as a stepping stone. The prophet Zechariah said, "Don't despise the day of small beginnings." You can't have the swan without the ugly duckling. And oh, how we try. It's like we want to go straight to the beautiful swan. It's like, well, if you can't bear the reproach of the ugly duckling, I don't know that you can get there. It could be that stage is built in to do sifting, to purify motives. Who knows? God knows. But you can't have one without the other. Same thing with startup companies for people that have been involved. You certainly understand that. Couples in their first year of marriage certainly understand that. Hello? Dr. James Dobson said every parent should apologize to their firstborn child. But anyway, you know, there are learning curves. But don't despise the beginning moments and formation that's in the plan of God. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Listen to the wisdom of Jesus in Matthew 13, 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the, what? Smallest of seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. What we do is we look at the seed. It's the smallest. All seeds are small, but it's the smallest. Like, where'd it go? I can't, I had it right here. Where'd it go? But we can look at that and say, the heck with that. But the Lord would say, if you can't be faithful with a little, how can I trust you with much? You be diligent and vigilant with that seed. That it's like, are you kidding me? Well, human wisdom would abort. God wouldn't. And it's interesting, the dichotomy, how it goes from that to the largest. Just, I think God wanted to prove a point, you see, so that the birds of the air can come and perch in its branches. Again, brighter and brighter until the full day, from faith to faith. And in this parable, to the degree that birds perch is the outgrowth of the seed. Do you realize that as you grow individually and as a people, hurting people, people that need God will perch in your tree? Because you've grown to the point that you're not only supplying yourself, but you got fruit on your tree that others will come and perch up in your tree, eating of your fruit. So then it's like, aren't you glad you didn't quit? Aren't you glad that you pressed in? Those times in secret of pressing in and studying scripture, crying out to God, being faithful when no one's looking, then all of a sudden that fruit pops up in the way of a word in season for a weary soul. And there's the ability to produce life out of faithfulness and out of diligence and out of a secret history in God that maybe no one else knows but the Lord, you see. Maybe not initially while we are yet a seedling, but as we grow and go from faith to faith, it just happens. And with the greater capacity comes greater opportunity to help more people. Next, helping others doesn't just take faith, but strength. Can we say strength? I was speaking with our missionaries in France, the Kiefers, last week or the week before, and they're on the mission field, and we talked about how exhausting it can be. Even the simplest of things can be so taxing and very physical. And it's as if there's double, triple gravity bearing down on you. And we were just praying about some challenges and some things maybe some of you are aware through social media. But Psalm 84 references these moments of passing through trouble spots and how God will even allow some of that to happen, but referencing the second part of our equation about strength, Psalm 84, 5 through 7, the psalmist declared, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage, the journey." I'm on a journey. It's the walk of faith, not the sprint of faith, okay? We all know people that burned hot for a moment. Then you turn around, where are they? It's a walk. There's a marathon aspect. As they pass through the valley of Baca or trouble, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools or blessings. They go how? From strength to strength till each appears before God and Zion. We will make it and stand before God. We will make it and stand before God. But again, we find a progression in the plan and purpose of God, an increase of grace, an increase of strength. And oh, do we need strength in these days? Oh, do we need our inner man to be strengthened by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit in our inward man. Oh, to be bigger on the inside than the outside. Oh, that the pressure within would be greater than the pressures without. That's the law of physics. You will not collapse. Just stoke those fires within, and the pressure without, it'll be a hiccup. Oh, to be large on the inside, the measure of Christ. And we have something to the outworking and development of that. Oh, we need strength in these days. The Living Bible says they will grow constantly in strength. Sign me up. The Amplified, they will go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. There's that word increase again. From one level of strength to another. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says we are inwardly being renewed day by day. Inwardly being what? Outside, I feel like I'm dying. You know, I feel pressed and, you know, crushed and all of that. But inwardly, God knows what He's doing. Don't take inventory of how you feel. Live on the Word. Inwardly, being renewed. Bless God. The devil will lie. No, inwardly, I'm being renewed. I'm being renewed. He will renew my youth like the eagle. Bless God, I'll skip like a calf from the stall. Hello? Advance through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. By faith. But the attitude is there in Jesus' name. But it says, inwardly being renewed. It's interesting, the qualifier, day by day. Can you say day by day? I don't like that. I want it now. I want everything now. No, day by day. That's normally how I found God works. Day by day. It's not sexy, is it? Could be potentially boring. I don't do day by day. The mustard seed grew day by day. May not have been quick growth, but it was daily gradual growth, yet good growth. Day by day. I mean, rarely do you find get-rich-quick schemes in God. You'll never find chapter and verse for beating the system, God's system, that is. But conversely, we find principles and precepts like Paul gave Timothy when he said, Timothy, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. I want to play by the rules. I want to get there yesterday. That's called cheating, you know. Or when he told Timothy, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. We're thinking, dear me, I'm a charismatic. I just want to confess it. Hard work. Paul here in 2 Timothy 2 exhorted Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He laid out conditions, even concluding that God would give him insight into all this. It was progressive, and it was by the rules of the game. God's game. God's kingdom. They're precepts and principles that God gives us through His words. People say, oh, God moves in mysterious ways. Ooh. No, you move in funny ways. God tells us what He means, says what He means, and means what He said. Not that there's not mystery in God. We understand that. But some people, that's always kind of a straw man argument. We can never know. We can just never know. It's just too high. Well, no, His thoughts ought to be your thoughts. In Isaiah 55, His ways are higher than yours. His thoughts are, actually, it was a reproof. They should be yours. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. We can know the mysteries of the Lord. Do we want to know? We're not going to know everything, but we'll know enough to have a go at it. Hello. But he laid out the conditions for Timothy, even concluding that God would give him insight. Anyone, though, through the hasty effort of flesh, can certainly birth an Ishmael. I mean, it's like, if you got to have it, you got to have it now in a New York minute, then get on with your bad self. But ask Abraham. He'd probably counsel you otherwise. You know, I mean, it's easy to birth an Ishmael. It's by the hands of our strength and by the wisdom of our own faculties, it's easy to come up, you know, with certain thoughts and strategies. But we trust God to take us from faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. And even though we may be telling God, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, there's a passage in the gospel that says, woe to the ones who say to God, may He hurry in His work. It's a sure work, but the pace is We can be ahead of God or we can lag behind God. We just want to be in the will of the Lord. And even if you're quick on the pedal, that's okay. It's fine if you're quick on the pedal, but just make sure. I mean, they'll call all sides on you if you go above, the line of scrimmage. Just make sure you're in tandem with the Lord, because we're not smarter than God. And He desires obedience, not sacrifice. So the readiness of our heart, that's a good thing. Build up a head of steam. Vroom, vroom. I mean, get the gas going, but just make sure, like David, oh, and by the way, God, are you in this? I'm in this. Go forward. Okay. God, are you in this? I'm not in this. Okay, I'll stay put. God, are you in this? I'm in this, but go behind them. And when you hear the rustling of the trees, then, A, B, C, D. Okay, he was a fighter. He was on the ready. He was not a slacker. He was not a slacktivist. He was on the ready. He was eager, but he had presence of mind. God, he inquired of the Lord, and it was a wise thing. From one level of faith to another. One level of strength to another. One level of glory to another. God told the Israelites in Exodus 23 that he would not drive out the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites in a single year, but rather little by little until they increased enough to take the land. In other words, he didn't take them from A to F. But go figure. He took them from A, B, C, D, E, F. That's not fun. That's all right. We can take our not fun through the cross as we're tapping our foot at the microwave. Hurry, 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 hurry. May not be fun, but it's God. Or again, we can birth the Ishmael. But then you have to start all over, which loses more time and resources as you have to circle back and begin again. And then when you do the math, that's painful. Man, had I just honored what God was saying and doing, I would have already been ahead of the game. God wants to take us. God wants to. God wants to. It's in His heart. We're not trying to get God to do things He doesn't want to do in life. He's just asking, come to me my way, come to me in faith, and trust me. Every principle in Scripture cannot be divorced from relationship with the Lord. We can't extract a formula and just try to work a formula outside of relationship and context to the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Scriptures and doctrine takes us to Him. As we quoted Hebrews 6 last week, let's leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to Christ. Let's don't just learn of Him, let's know Him. Many know of Him. How many know Him? Israel knew the acts of God. Moses knew His ways. But he went through some seasons in order to learn those ways. Did he not? God wants to take us. God wants to take us from one level to another. Is it not His good pleasure? Come on, is it not His good pleasure? I mean, even more than those at Chick-fil-A that say, oh, my pleasure. Come on, God's so even more. If God did not withhold His only Son, shall He not now freely grant us all things? Wherever you are, don't despise it. Allow it to be the stepping stone, springboard it is intended to be. Strength will take you to more strength. This is the doing of the Lord. Let's go forward. Part three of that equation, glory to glory. Glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Paul said, but whenever a person turns, this was in context of Moses and the law, the Old Testament, and how there was a veil, on the reading of the law. But whenever a person rather turns to the Lord, can you say turns? Stuff happens, I'm telling you. Something happened with Moses when he turned to the burning bush. He could have just gone on and said, burning bush, and just get on with his bad stuff. But something happens when you pause, when you turn, when you make the effort. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We go on. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Verse 18 in the Amplified reads, and we all with unveiled face continually seeing. Can you say continually seeing? I love that song we sang earlier about sing the Lord. It's amazing how many times the songs, the worship songs, dovetail with the message. And we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are what? Progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. There's that progression again. It happens by degrees. It happens by degrees. It happens by degrees, from one degree of glory to even more. God doesn't diminish in our lives if we walk and stay with Him. His presence and His power increase. His presence and His power increase. His presence and His power increase. But we catch a clue as to how this happens through the text that read, turning to Christ and continually seeing. Not just a glimpse 5 years ago, but I need to glimpse Him today. That's more America than just Christmas and Easter. Hello. Not sure Christmas and Easter, quote, Christians attain a greater glory. Continually looking to and upon Jesus removes the veil, not from Him, from us, and changes us to become more like Him. 2 Corinthians 4:4-6. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Love that. Paul here references the light of the knowledge of that glory of God. Where is it? In the face of Christ. Love that. We become like that which we behold. What are we looking at? What are we looking upon? Like a computer, what you put in comes out. What are we beholding? We become like that which we behold. Where is our stare? What are we looking to? What are we looking upon? Here's how it works. We behold Him. He transforms us. So we don't have to huff and puff and grunt and snort and kick. We behold Him. He transforms us. Sanctification through grace by His Spirit, although we're in the yoke together looking to Him intentionally. We behold Him. He transforms us. So we don't have to grit our teeth and try harder. Just look at Him more. And the degree of your glory in Christ rises. Christ within, the hope of glory. We do the beholding. He does the transforming. That's a good deal. How many can sign up for that? We do the beholding. He does the transforming. We do the beholding. He does the transforming. Moses didn't have the glory of the Lord on his face by trying harder, but by getting up on that mountain with God. You know, Stephen, I love Stephen, had the glory of God on him even in martyrdom. Even in martyrdom. Dear me, how? Because he was looking at Jesus. Look at this in Acts 7. Love it. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up. You talking about being in your midnight hour. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, what'd he do? Oh, my. No, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He was angelic in that moment. What a sign and a wonder to be in the throes of death, but yet the testimony of God is right there in that crisis. And even before, as they began to argue with our man, we find in chapter 6, as we back up, It says, but they could not stand up against the wisdom, or the capital S what? Spirit, by which he spoke. Amazing. Oh, to grow in conformity to him. It doesn't happen overnight. And we never graduate until we awaken in his likeness one day. It's progressive by degrees. It's progressive. But we love him enough to stay in the game of the Lord, to stay in the journey, in pilgrimage, as we read earlier. Yet our yieldedness and attentiveness can accelerate or delay. Why do some seem to grow quicker than others? Why do some circle and circle the mountain? Why do some shoot up so rapidly? To those looking to Jesus, spiritual activity, it's going into you whether you feel it or not. When you look to the Lord, 9 times out of 10, you're not even aware of what's happening, the transformational process. You're not aware. So again, we don't take inventory by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. People come to me all the time, am I doing okay? You're doing great. Just by the fact that they're asking. Look, you want to do well in God. That's a good thing. Just the fact that you're showing up, that's a good thing. You see, I'm wanting to grow. I'm wanting to increase, you see. Those looking to the Lord, whether they're aware of it or not. You know, normally we're, again, not aware. Usually other people come and tell us, you've grown. And you're kind of like, really? You're like, yeah, you've grown. I can't see it. Well, it's because your roots are in the Lord and there's fruit popping out on you, and others are recognizing it and appreciating it and partaking of it as they're perched in your tree, you see. In our neighborhood, and again, this happens whether you feel it or not. In our neighborhood, they knocked down all of our red tips because they were diseased, and they planted these holly trees. And where I live, on the corner of Six Forks, we want the berm and we want the hedge there to block out traffic and looking at that real attractive gas station across the road, you know. But they don't plant 40-foot holly trees. They plant them as seedlings. And we're like, dear me. But the way the horticulture guru described it to us, he said, the first year, they'll sleep. Second year, they'll creep. By the third year, they'll leap. You see. But we could go out there in the first year and go, dear me, hurry. Sleep, creep, leap. Maybe some of you need to hear that for whatever enterprise you've put your hand to. I mean, I'm sure you've heard the story of the bamboo, how it's dormant for years and then grows 80 feet in 6 weeks. But at any rate, rarely do we see our own growth, but others do as they partake. Listen, God's heart for you, for me in 2020, is to go. It's not pie in the sky. This is real. His desire for everyone by grace is to go from faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. It's progressive, yes, but it's sure. Progressive, yes, but sure. And as we said before as a figure of speech, oh, to be more converted today than yesterday. Oh, to love God more. Faith, strength, and glory. Take us there. If you want more this year, raise your hand. If you want more hunger for spiritual things, raise your hand. You know, hunger begets hunger. It's great. Then you'll stay hungry. Mustard seed. A little bit of faith takes you to a new level of faith. Whatever level of strength you have, I don't have any strength. Well, then take your lack of strength to the Lord and watch him multiply. It's there. There's more paste in the tube than you think. I don't feel it. He never said you would, but it's there. Don't abort. I want it now. I want my inheritance now. No, day by day, progressive, through degrees, not fun, but God knows what he's doing. He's not slow in keeping his promise, but he's doing something in the meantime. We take what we have and say, God, you bring the increase. There's a new level of faith through grace, not huffing and puffing. There's a new place of strength, not by my striving, but by your supply. There's even more glory, not by trying harder, but by looking at you more. You're doing the work of growth and sanctification, maturity and development. When we look to ourselves, it could be setting us at a place, a lack of rest. But when we look to him, we find that place of rest, as Augustine helped us with. Father, thank you for in this new season, levels, Lord, of increase. Lord, levels of movement, Lord, that's progressive yet sure. Father, for those that are in the walk of the Lord, in the yoke, and Lord, on our part, we just want to bring our yes to you. Lord, as we take our defining verse this year, Lord, I pray we work it and work it and let it produce the fruit of what it's intended to say over our lives. Lord, we may not feel it or see it, but Lord, the increase is happening. And Lord, we just want to say we're signing up for that, the process of God. We're signing up for that. Not perfection, but progress. And we want those higher levels of faith. We want those deeper dimensions of strength and that greater place of glory. We say yes to that. Take us there. Take us there. You've got our will. You have our commitment. Take us there. Just tell the Lord in your seat, Lord, take me there to a new place of faith, strength, glory. In 2020, not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. And then God will get all the praise, because we're not deceived in where the help comes from. It comes from above. Then watch what God does. I also want to encourage you, when you see good fruit in one another, tell them. They probably need to hear it. When you see growth in another, tell them. I just want to encourage you. I see real traction in your life. I see movement in you. There's real movement in your life. How you relate with people, how you approach God, how you deal with challenge. There's movement in you. Amen.